Welcome to KWOS Open Air Saturday with Hal Dooley on News Radio 950 KWOS and on FM at 104.5.
Good morning and welcome in to Open Air Saturday here on News Radio 950 KWOS, broadcasting live from Hy-Vee in the casual dining area on Truman Boulevard right next to the mall. So if you're out and about, stop in. Have one of their beautiful breakfasts. They serve a great breakfast down here. Have a cup of coffee. Stop by and say hi to us. Got a great show for you today. Extraordinary show. Somebody I've been wanting to get on for a long time is somebody that's an old pal that's on, and that's Ashley Rahner. Ashley, last time you were on, you were executive director of the Schools Foundation. Now you're at Hitachi. Good morning.
Good morning, Hal.
Now, I'm just a commoner. I don't know any more or any less than an average person in Jeff City. But tell me this, last time I checked with them, they were making underground transformers, but there's a lot more going on today than what I realized.
Oh, absolutely. Gosh, do we have hours to speak about it this morning?
Absolutely.
So, as you know, we do make power grid transformers. Some of them are submersible, but we power the globe. You know, we are creating sustainable energy futures for all, and that means electric vehicle charging stations are powered by our transformers. We are in the wind and solar space. You know, your Facebook, Meta data centers, you know, a lot of those are submersible transformers that are powering those data centers. They're massive. And so, you know, you probably don't realize, but we're more in your daily life than you even imagine. So when you turn on your smartphone, we are powering your smartphone. You know, when you open up, you know, the door to your bedroom and turn the light on, you're being, you know, your electricity is coming from that green transformer on, you know, the corner of your block near your home. So
that's amazing. That's amazing.
We love it.
So now, and they've hired a community relations director.
Yes, and that is me, and I get to create this position, Hal.
You're all over the place. I see billboards and sponsoring various activities and stuff, and that's good for the community and good for Hitachi, too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I was amazed at the technology-driven that we have today. You know, the interesting thing, and we're going to back into this, Brian, is it takes smart people to work for Hitachi today, and that's symbolic of a lot of the businesses today. I mean, it takes a lot of training. It's like my old utility gas company days where I had a lot of people, they wanted summer help, they wanted us to go out and hire their people. But, you know, we use equipment, you know, like ditch witches and stuff, or computer-based and stuff, and it takes technology and training in order to do that. We don't have too many shovel and dirt jobs anymore.
Right.
And we're going to bring in Brian here in a couple minutes, but I really appreciate everything that you have done. Let's talk about the foundation and how it's transmitted and what it does. Now, you raise a lot of money to help in the classroom primarily, right?
Absolutely. Teachers in the classroom, as you know well, you know, they're underpaid and overworked, in my opinion. And, you know, they have all sorts of students with all sorts of, you know, levels of need. And so, you know, when teachers are digging out of their own pockets to provide supplies, and or they need specialized equipment in the classroom for social emotional learning, or for you name it, over at Nichols Career Center, you know, they need welders in the classroom. So, you know, we have a variety in the public school system, a variety of tools and resources that are needed. And so the JC Schools Foundation is imperative to lift up those needs and celebrate them as well.
So you guys are a very valuable resource to the superintendent, right?
Absolutely. The number one.
Should we ask him? I'll tell you what I'm going to do, because you know him a lot better than I do.
Yeah.
I'll let you introduce him.
All right. It gives me great pleasure today to get to introduce the superintendent of the Jefferson City Public School District, Mr. Doctor.
I'm not a doctor.
No doctor.
I'm not smart enough for
Mr. Brian McGraw.
Good morning.
Morning, Hal.
So you just want to be Brian? Is that what you want to be?
That's it.
Is that what the students call you, is Brian? See, I like that. I like
that's probably the best thing they call me.
No,
the
why would they call you?
They call me.
Why would they call you anything different than that?
Well, you never. Sometimes I deliver bad news, you know, with punishments and things of that nature.
That's true. You know, when I, and you haven't had to evict anybody yet, have you?
Once in a while.
Once in a while. It's an unfortunate thing to do.
Yes,
I know.
We have high expectations for our kids, and you know, we want to have a great learning environment for all.
All right. Now, 27 years.
Yes.
In education.
Yes.
Started in the classroom.
Yes, as a teacher, elementary school teacher, went to middle school, sixth grade at Pocono Mountain.
Pocono Mountain, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
You're a long way from home.
Yes, I am.
So tell me two things. Classroom today compared to the classroom that you walked into when you first started, and the changes, and then the difference between Pocono, Pennsylvania, and Jefferson City, Missouri. So you can start with the classroom first.
So it's a lot harder. I think that, you know, back then you didn't have the technology involved, the strict curriculum that you had to adhere to. It's a different type of kid, you know, that you're dealing with, mental health issues, home issues. So I think it's a lot more challenging for teachers today. The job they do, like Ashley said, is definitely extremely hard. So I admire everything they do. It's nonstop. You know, they're teaching in the classroom, but then the planning that goes on at night, over the weekend, grading of papers, all of those things, dealing with parents, social media, updating grades and computer systems, all of those things that go on just didn't exist back then. So the job is a lot harder, and as you know, there's a nationwide teaching shortage, so harder to find great people, and we're trying to make it a great place to work for our employees so that we attract the best and brightest.
You think Jeff City is above the curve right now? Central Missouri, I mean, I like the Midwest, and I think we're a little bit not above the fray, but a little bit more prepared for what's going on today compared to the East and West Coast.
I think we are. I think the things that we're doing and trying to get step ahead, get kids earlier. You know, we're trying to build a pre-K center coming up, and trying to get kids in our system, reading at grade level. Those things, some places don't have those priorities. So I think putting faith in our teachers and investing in our teachers and some of the programs we have. We just started a new pre-K program January 2nd for our staff. So we have maintenance, clerical, teachers, kids in that program, 29 kids in the pre-K program and being successful. That way we have workers, the kids are safe and learning, and it's an advantage to our employees.
And you got to do that. You really do, because you got to. I talked to Straub a while back, former superintendent, and I said, you know, less population, but we need more classrooms. And he said, the spread between the brightest and the challenged is getting greater, and we have to segregate them more because they can't put your gifted students into the people who really need the help. And I think, is this one of the things that causes our space problems, where we have to have more teachers and more classrooms?
Well, your kids need more, and as we've learned about how children learn, the need for specialization becomes more and more. You know, we have occupational therapists, speech therapists, individualized learning, reading specialists, math interventionists, all those things to help kids, you know, get better, grow. And as we've learned about what works for kids, that, you know, we have more tools in the toolbox.
You know, I'm intrigued by the pre-K. Because I think it's sort of like what John Mosley's doing at Lincoln. You know, they're not prepared. A lot of our freshmen coming in are not prepared for college. So we got to do a lot of mentoring, a lot of one-on-one training to bring them up to snuff. And you're doing the same thing. You know, coming into K in first and second grade, not all everybody's the same. And some of them are challenged. A lot of it has to do with our present system of both of them working and really not parental teaching in the class, not the classroom, but the home, prior to coming in. I mean, I went to West School, you know, a semester, kindergarten, but I had mother at home. Most of us had mothers at home, and we were pretty much orientated to get into the classroom setting. But a lot of the kids today don't, and it's hard to get them caught up. And I'm not trying to, I'm just saying there's a lot of challenges. I want to go back to the teachers real quick. What do you tell them today with regard, because they're the rubber meets the road with the students, on what your vision is over the next 6 months to 6 years on trying to help make the teaching parameters a lot more keen so that the kids do learn?
I think the first thing you have to do with teachers is support them. They have to feel supported in their position. They're going to run into moments where they're extremely frustrated, worn down, kids giving them a hard time in different ways, or parents giving them a hard time, and we have to support them. We can't just leave them out there on an island and say, deal with it, that's part of the job. Any good teacher or any average teacher is going to need the help of administrators. So I want to stress to our administration that we're here to support the teachers, especially in their early years, so that they don't get frustrated and leave the position. You know, we had 100 new teachers this year in the district, and hopefully we'll be rolling in with them coming back next year. Most of the teachers leave their profession statistically in those first 5 years. So we want to give them the support they need, give them the professional development they need. So like on Monday, this upcoming Monday, we have a professional development day. Help them learn, help them grow, listen to them, and give them the tools that they need to succeed in the classroom. But the first thing you got to do is support them and not leave them out there on their own.
And one of the key things in support is have the resources.
Yes.
And having had, you know, the Veterans Commission and being an executive director there, I always felt my job similar to yours, and I'm there to provide the resources and support. And I've got to go out into the community and get the resources, and that's important. And I know we've had a lot of ups and downs with regard to the community support, community challenges and all this and that, the bond issue and all. But I want to, what's in your mind with regard to where you want to go and what are the priorities with regard to better education for our kids and resources? Now you got a bond issue that's going to be coming up and stuff like that. How invaluable is that? I mean, the community talks about parochialism, we don't need it, blah, 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 blah. What do you say to people like that? I mean, I hear it in the coffee shops. People want education, but they don't want to pay for it.
Sure.
Sorry about that. But we have parent teachers, not to get on to it. But I think the relationship of explaining to people the importance, like the Tachi, we just cannot hire a high school graduate that has learned to the eighth grade level. I can't hire that person. You know, and they're dead in the water to begin with. And I know that frustrates you and your teachers and your school system. And like I said, it goes back to money, and we need to talk about that. What do you want to tell the public relative? Because I think we need to support you. We've got to produce productive people. But you got to put them, like you said, pre-K, you've got to give them the mentoring to be able to learn, like you said. And my son was the same way, you know, you're dyslexic or whatever it is. You got to identify what some of the sharp physical, and then bring them back around. Discipline, that's another big one, I know. It's not your fault, but you're not in the business to discipline people, but you got to do it.
Yes.
And that's a challenge. And I think good parents have to support public school system in the context of discipline. Now, when I went to St. Peter's, I don't have the advantage of a public school education, but it wasn't uncommon that in the grade schools, a couple, two or three were held back. Now, we were on a calendar year then, so the kid that was born January 1st was in the class with the kid that was born December 31st, and the year difference, as you know, from 5 to 13 is big. And sometimes they don't have the maturity to go from 3rd, 4th, whatever the grade is, and to hold them back, in my experience, has been, that's a godsend for these kids. 1 year of being held back and taking 4th or 5th grade makes a world of difference on their learning. So at the end game, when they get out of grade school and going into high school, they're competitive and they can learn more. Is that your feel? I mean, I'm talking as a commoner in my experiences.
I think you said, you know, as far as the community support, I mean, great communities have great public schools. Mm-hmm. You know, high values in homes are from great public schools. So the investment that the community can make in public schools is ultimately going to benefit them in the workforce, with their home values, their neighborhoods. So the more we invest in our schools and invest in our teachers, the better our community gets and our kids get, and we produce those workforce. And we have a partnership with Hitachi now. They donated how much in welding materials to
over $22,000. Yeah.
And, you know, and that learning atmosphere that's created by that donation, that partnership, is invaluable. You know, kids are working on items there that they wouldn't be able to do. So like, when the community supports us, kids get better. Companies then have a transition, get kids in the workforce, and it becomes a great thing. So I think the more people have faith in our schools and come and see, you know, I invite people in and see our schools. Come in and walk around and see the great things that are going on. I think a lot of times people just, you know, talk about it, oh, this is going on, and it's that game of telephone, and all of a sudden the narrative is different than what it really is. So that's why I'm trying to, you know, in this last year, you know, COVID is over. We don't have the restrictions we used to have. Come in and see what's going on, because great things are going on in JC schools.
And I want to talk about that when we get back for parent and teachers and Teachers Association. Visiting with Brian McGraw, the superintendent of Jeff City Public Schools, and my buddy Ashley Varner, who used to be with the foundation, now is with Hitachi, one of the big supporters of our public school system. You're listening to Open Air Saturday on News Radio 950 KWS. We're going to take a quick break and come right back.
Special problems require special solutions. I'm Mark Keckner with Keckner Manufacturing. We're known for making turkey coops, but we've expanded including trade repair, laser cutting, CAD drawing, custom fabricating, and manufacturing. Yes, we do that. That is the reason we've been in business for over 60 years. We are working for the working man. You might not need us today, but when you do, Keckner Manufacturing will be there. Keckner Manufacturing in Tipton, Missouri. Yes, we do that. Go to Keckners.com. That's KOECHNERS.
It's probably the most exciting part of launching a new marketing campaign, tracking the results. At Fuse 32, our team thrives on giving our clients good news. From the second we start on your campaign, we're gathering data on which ads are working well and what might be underperforming. Then, we can reallocate funds to the ad types and placements that are performing best. The Fuse 32 team has high hopes for your business and your brand, and we can't wait to show you the results. Buying media begins here. Fuse 32. There's nothing we can't do. Fuse32.com.
Just like golf, investing your money can be tricky. Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft here. When market downturns happen, investors are tempted with products that promise to guard against inflationary sand traps. From coins to cryptocurrency and everything in between, always research the investment before you write the check. Visit MissouriProtectsInvestors.com for more information. That's MissouriProtectsInvestors.com.
Paid for by Investor Education and Protection Fund.
Larry laid there, languishing and lamenting, panicking and paranoid that there are still bugs, pests, dirty, bitey, icky things. Like a cowboy, he'd keep a can of chemicals with him, blast them every time he sees them, reacting, not preventing.
I can do that?
Oh yes, Larry, you can. With the 5-star system at Steve's Pest Control, it's a system to prevent, block, bar, deny entry for as long as Steve's provides service. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed?
That's what I said. I said guaranteed.
Hi, I'm Steve with Steve's Pest Control. You have a choice. We can come in and fix a problem after it's a problem, or you can use our 5-star service, and I will guarantee pests are never a problem to begin with. We're going to solve and prevent your pest problem. I guarantee it.
From skittering centipedes to munching mice, call Steve's Pest Control online at stevespestcontrol.com.
Now you got a friend in the pest control business, Steve's Pest Control.
My name is Landon Oxley. Capital Diesel's been servicing my truck since 2004. Something breaks, I want it fixed, I want it fixed right, and I don't like to break down, and I like to keep rolling. My brother-in-law said, you need to go to Capital Diesel because these guys know their stuff, and they do good work. It's a good thing when you got somebody, you know, I can take my key and leave it there, and it's good. They just do really great work.
When you need to be sure, Capital Diesel.
KWOS Saturday Open Air with Hal Dooley and the whole crew.
We are back at Hy-Vee on Casual Dining Area on Truman Boulevard. And Ryan McGraw, superintendent of Just City Schools, says that we've got a mega meat sale going on right here under our noses at Hy-Vee. All kinds of things. Ground chuck is $1.99 a pound. That's a good deal. You know, I'm talking about prime rib that's $14, $15 a pound. You get the Hy-Vee Choice Boneless Reserve Top Roast, $2.77 a pound. Buy one, get one free. You got half-bone pert sirloins. You got Hy-Vee Choice Reserve Beef Center Cuts at $3.99. Gold Leaf Chicken Leg Quarters. Those are always good. 59 cents a pound, almost giving them away. But they've got their mega meat sale going on this weekend. Come on out, check it out, save a little money, and eat good next week. We're visiting with Brian McGraw, superintendent of the Jeff City School System, and Ashley Varner, my pal. Ashley.
Yes.
What about the bond? Are you going to support the bond issue?
Oh, absolutely, Hal. At Hitachi, one of, you know, just the biggest pieces, of our corporate responsibility is not only supporting the community, but creating collaborative partnerships with educational institutions. And we just love Nichols Career Center. Nichols is this hidden gem in our community, if you didn't know, and they've got, 16 sending schools that come, and they get all these skills and trades from weldings to mechatronics to robotics, you name it. I mean, it is extraordinary. And so they are busting at the seams. And Hitachi, you know, we just see this as this giant opportunity to pull those kids into the workforce right here locally, keep dollars local, and give them a good life. And so, we want to support the growth and expansion of Nichols Career Center and would love to see, just a larger space for them. And we're just really hopeful the bond issue is going to be supported widely in our community.
And we're going to talk to Brian about more of that. But while I've got you, Hitachi is an interesting paradox with regard to public school education and what you guys are looking for.
Yeah.
You're looking for a few good people, aren't you?
We are. We're always hiring. We're growing. We're adding. We're expanding a product line. You know, we have about 1,100 employees currently, three shifts, and we've grown 150 people just in the last year that I've been there. And so, you know, we are the largest global manufacturing site here in Jefferson City. And if you didn't know that, you need to know that, because it's a huge employer that puts millions and millions of dollars, just payroll dollars, back into this community. So,
Who are you hiring? I mean, you're paying $20 plus an hour.
Oh yeah, about $25 an hour for hourly. But
now, what does a person have to do to make that kind of money, education-wise? What does Brian have to do to prepare that individual to be qualified for your job?
They need to go through the welding program with Kenny Thomas over there at Nichols Career Center. And if they are desiring to expand their, you know, skills and education beyond high school, we definitely want to support that. So we'll hire them second shift, and they can go to State Tech during the day, or State Fair Community College, or go up the road, you know, anywhere that has a local skills training program.
And it's going to nothing but up, because I know my Marine buddy that teaches the welding classes down at State Tech, he's sending them to Indiana for $85,000 a year.
Wow.
So people, welding is not a denigrated career. Now I want to tell you this, I get involved in USS Jefferson City and USS Missouri submarines, electric boat in Groton, Connecticut, and this is technical, I mean, you gotta be good. They're paying $250,000 a year to their welders.
That's
a lot of money. I mean, the good welders, you know, and of course they get down into the depths, and you've got to be right in what you do. But there's money, and people, they're beginning to understand that. They're beginning to understand it. But it all comes back to you, Brian McGraw, to get those people prepared. And I think they make better citizens when you're making good money and you're working 8 to 5. I mean, I'd rather do that than sit at home and draw a check from the government. And that's what we're competing against. It's unbelievable that we are. But I want to go back to talking about Pocono, Pennsylvania, and Jefferson City, Missouri, because we're flyover country. We feel that we have got a good community. I think Pennsylvania is a lot that way, too, but you're sucked into the East Coast a little bit more than we are. But are we anything different than the challenges of a school district anywhere else?
I think, you know, I came from Scranton, Pennsylvania, grew up there, and you know, two high schools in the town, and then a private school, political hotbed a little bit. And you know, again, you said East Coast, we got a lot of kids from Philadelphia, New York City. You know, the high school where I was principal, we had 33 different languages spoke. So it was very diverse, a lot of challenges. You know, Jeff City is, again, two high schools, true community, people support you, welcome you. You know, we've been nothing but happy since we arrived here, and the support that people have given us. So we really feel like this is a great home for our kids. You know, I have a ninth grader at Jeff City and a sixth grader at Lewis and Clark, and they're having tremendous success there because of the teachers, because of the coaches that they've had, and the people in town. They've made friends. It's just a warm community, and we're happy to be here.
Seems like the second high school, Capital City, has sort of developed into a nice relationship. I mean, there's always talk, as you know, when we initially wanted to do this and the breakup of senior high and all this and that. But it seemed like it's sort of progressed, and the community has accepted it.
Yep.
I love the relationships. I went through Helias back in the day when they had a strong football team. Of course, Pete Atkins had his strong football team, but they wouldn't let us play. Now, here are kids in Jefferson City that I grew up with. We played red rag football. We played baseball against each other all the way until high school, and all of a sudden they won't let us compete against each other. You know, and it's a shame. But we were told, well, it's not you kids, it's the people in the stands. But I think we shortchanged our parents and stuff to be able to accept the rivalry. And now I think it's a good mix. We have a good conference. I think it saves you a lot of money and travel costs and everything else by playing everybody. I got to the point, I hated to go to Arkansas or any place like that to play a football game. Now, some people like to do that, but I like to fill the stands, and I like to go maybe an hour away at most to see my high school team playing. So I think that's all been good. But the second high school has been really a godsend, I think, for us.
It's allowed more kids to get involved in both academics and activities. I mean, we've had success at both schools this year in winning championships. You had a soccer team at Jeff City make it to the final 8 of the state. You've had the tennis team at Cap City make it to the final eight of tennis. So tremendous success right now. The Jay basketball program doing well with Josh Buffington. We have both high schools did well in football this year and made it deep into the playoffs. So more kids getting involved and more kids are involved in activities, the higher their success is in the classroom and in the community. So it was a great thing for the district to create that. The conference is wonderful. You have those natural rivalries. You have Helias and Jeff City and Cap
Columbia
City.
Schools.
And then the Columbia schools and then Sedalia. So it's really a nice opportunity for parents to travel in a short distance and have those natural rivalries because we all want to kick each other's butts.
Amen to that. I like hearing a superintendent say that. Come out of the stands and give the referees a little peace of mind there, right? Anyway, this is Brian McGraw, the superintendent of Jeff City Public Schools. My buddy Ashley Varner is with us. Listen to Open Air Saturday, broadcasting live from Hy-Vee in the casual dining area. We're going to take another quick break and be right back.
Here's what's coming up on Wake Up Mid-Missouri.
We are just days away. Chiefs and Eagles. What's going on? I am Brandon Rather from Wake Up Mid-Missouri. Do hope you'll join us Monday on the show. We'll do What's Hot with Hannah, plus the Morning Bell, your daily D.C. rundown, and Congressman Blaine Lukemeyer. He's going to be joining us at 8:10, giving us the inside scoop on what's happening in Washington, D.C.
Wake Up Mid-Missouri. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on 104.5 News Radio 950 KWOS. Here's what's coming up on Wake Up Mid-Missouri.
We are just days away. Chiefs and Eagles. What's going on? I am Brandon Rather from Wake Up Mid-Missouri. Do hope you'll join us Monday on the show. We'll do What's Hot with Hannah, plus the Morning Bell, your daily D.C. rundown, and Congressman Blaine Lukemeyer. He's going to be joining us at 8:10, giving us the inside scoop on what's happening in Washington, D.C.
Wake Up Mid-Missouri. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on 104.5 News Radio 950 KWOS. It's high school basketball season.
Over to Desmond White. Good look for three. Get at the buzzer. Good look for three, and he knocks it down.
Join us all season long with Missouri Hall of Famer Kevin Kelly for all the exciting play-by-play of the Jays, the Crusaders, the Falcons, and the Cavaliers.
Deflected away. Picked up by Quinn Cushion. Leads the break. Spins off the glass and good. Oh, my.
High school basketball on 104.5 News Radio 950 KWOS and at KWOS.com.
The Foundation for the Benefit of Helias Catholic High School, Incorporated, and Helias Catholic High School celebrate the legacy Saturday, March 4th in the Commons of Helias Catholic High School, recognizing outstanding individuals who have helped establish Helias Catholic High School through their volunteering talents and treasure. The 2023 Hall of Fame inductees are Dwayne Klingman and Marilyn DeFeo. Victor Bell will be honored as Helias' Staff Member of the Year. Join us March 4th to celebrate the legacy. For more information, go to heliasfoundation.org.
It's high school basketball season.
Over to Desmond White. Good look for three. Get at the buzzer. Good look for three, and he knocks it down.
Join us all season long with Missouri Hall of Famer Kevin Kelly for all the exciting play-by-play of the Jays, the Crusaders, the Falcons, and the Cavaliers.
Deflected away. Picked up by Quinn Cushion. Leads the break. Spins off the glass and good. Oh, my.
High school basketball on 104.5 News Radio 950 KWOS and at KWOS.com.
Hey, it's John Marsh for KWOS telling you Helias Catholic High School Central Bank hosting the 8th annual Central Bank Shootout this Saturday at Helias. It's a one-day event with boys and girls high school basketball teams from Helias, Blair Oaks, and Jefferson City. We'll crank it up with Blair Oaks and Gateway on the girls and boys side at 11, then progress on through the rest of our games. All the action with Kevin Kelly and the crew. Helias Catholic, the Central Bank Shootout.
Attention! Corporal Dooley is in the building on KWOS.
I still think that promo was understated. I'm still a corporal after all these years. That's unbelievable. I haven't gotten promoted. Anyway, we're broadcasting live from Hy-Vee in the casual dining area. Open air Saturday. Typical. We're doing very well. We're having a chummy conversation with Ashley Verner and a very serious conversation with Brian McGraw. And if you don't know who Brian McGraw is, he is the superintendent of the public schools, and you'll see him out and about quite a bit, almost as much as Ashley. And Ashley makes big money getting out on the community. You make okay money trying to defend yourself. But that's the real world out there. It really is. And to me, I don't make anything, so I've done well for myself. But Hy-Vee, we're here. They sponsor us, and they do good. Hamburger and hot dog buns, $1.99 for an 8-pack. Unbelievable. deli sliced cheese. Don't eat too much of that. It causes physical problems, but it's $3.99 a pound. It used to be $4 or $5. Guacamole, if you like guacamole, $5.99 for a tub of that. Sour cream, everybody's got to have sour cream. Less than a dollar, believe it or not, 88 cents. And then, of course, sweet corn, it's $4.99. That's gone up. It really has. Anyway, they have their hot meat special. We won't get into that, but they have it on this weekend. Come on out, look at their prices, save a little money, and eat well next week. Ryan McGraw, we had a good conversation so far. Think you're doing a great job. You've been at it, what, about a year now, superintendent?
A couple months in, yeah, about a half year.
You know, and I noticed in my research that Ashley got Ashley left her job about the same time you came on as superintendent.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Any correlation there?
No. I was sad to see her go.
Thought you might be too demanding?
No, I was sad to see her go. Begged her to stay, but she was on the bigger and better things, and she thought she could help support us more by going to Hitachi, and she has.
You know, and that's the thing, too. You talk about the product that you put out there. We lose a lot of these good kids because of the job market, stuff like that. I know that's the backside of an economic development, which I'm for. Like to find a way to keep a lot of these gifted kids here in the community and
Absolutely.
Support the community. And I know that's one of the things that you're really interested in trying to improve that. What are your top two or three priorities right now? You've been in it about a year. You've probably got a pretty good lay of the land, your schools, your teachers, your operations people. What are your priorities right now, the doable stuff?
Doable stuff, I mean, obviously, you know, I mentioned it before. I want to recruit and retain great teachers and develop future teachers, you know, hopefully partnering with Lincoln, you know, with some of our kids that would they go to Lincoln and then come back to us and work for us. So recruit and retain great teachers. We want to close the achievement gap with kids and continually grow them in the classroom and also have high expectations for our students in the classroom and in our schools. So those will be our three, you know, main focus points moving forward for JC Schools.
I don't want to talk about CRT, but I do want to talk about curriculum.
Yes.
With regard to what are we teaching and how much of it are we teaching? I'm talking about the basics, the mathematics side of it, the parents that don't understand how it's being taught today, the lack of detailed history. I'm a Vietnam veteran, but we teach very little about that. And what I'm doing is talking about my 50s and 60s grade school performances and what I was taught compared to today. Is this something that's constantly on the churn with regard to curriculum on preparing the kids? Because I know you only got so much time, and it's got to be always priorities on curriculum. But how much input do you have as superintendent on the curriculum?
Well, you know, we have to teach to the Missouri learning standards and focus on those, and that's what we're held accountable for when we have math testing. You know, but at the end of the day, it comes down to reading and math. And giving the kids that foundation so that they can continue to grow appropriately through their educational career. You know, you can't learn to weld, you can't learn to, you know, be a great historian or mathematician or, you know, in high school without having those building blocks early on. So we have to, you know, focus on those things at our elementary levels, and if kids are a little bit behind, get them the resources they need to succeed.
You know, it just amazes me. We've talked about it sort of backwards, though. I mean, pre-K, giving them the tools to learn. Going through 8 years of elementary education, giving them the tools to learn. Not the learning, but the tools to learn. You know, if you do anything, when they graduate out of the 12th grade, they have the ability to learn. They may not be the smartest person in the world. They may not be the most educated in the world, but they have the ability to learn. I mean, you take average people that could excel because they understand how to do jobs, how to be responsible and stuff. That's all part of it, because I know when I see efficiencies, proficiencies, we're not where we need to be. Now, you're an educator. You've been in a long time. I don't think, based on what were our expectations, all of our kids are not where they need to be. And this is a system issue rather than anything else, because I think they've got too much information, outside information, because you had my undivided attention when I was in high school and grade school. I mean, I had the playground. That was the competition. Now you've got the internet. You got all this stuff. Right. And these kids get too much information. And it's not necessarily the correct information. That's got to be a battle, especially for your teachers, because when she starts her discussion on the subject matter, these kids seem to have a lot of information, most of it incorrect, that they've got to reorientate to get back to the real world and what is important. That's got to be a challenge for your teachers.
It is. I said, you know, you asked me to compare before teaching back when I started versus now, and that's one of the challenges. You know, they have the cell phones at, you know, in their hand 24/7, and it's getting them to put it down and focus on what the lesson is another challenge for teachers. You know, but, again, if we continue to focus on the right things, which would be, you know, getting them to continuously improve as a kid. You know, and every kid's at a different level, but getting them to grow and get better each and every day, that's the focus of our teachers. And that's the challenge of a classroom. You know, at the elementary level, you know, you have 23, 25 kids in a class, and one kid could be super high in reading, and one kid could be super low in reading, and trying to get both of those kids to grow is the challenge that our educators have. So giving them the support, the tools, and everything they need to move both of those kids forward is a difficult thing, but the thing that we need to do.
You know, Dr. Straub told me that there's a greater separation than ever before today between the gifted child and the challenged child. And that's got to be one of the biggest things that is to bother some, because, I don't know, we had I guess, 3 7th grades at St. Peter's. It wasn't big, but, I mean, we had probably about 20 kids per grade, but it was based on the ability to learn, how much time they need. Do you spend enough time with the kids? Now, when I say that, 8 years is enough, and what, you know, they're thinking about shorter school days and all this and that. I don't think you have enough time to teach what you need to teach. Now, I'm not professing that I'm going to go out and say these kids ought to be learning all year round. I feel that, knowing what I know as an adult in the workplace, that you don't get enough learning. You know, it seemed like a lot of these families, they just want to get through it. I mean, I had two college careers. I had a college career where all I was interested in getting through it, and then went on the Marine Corps and learned how to be an adult and responsible. I came back, and all of a sudden I realized I needed to learn something. So I was more interested in what I was being taught and retaining it than I was on the grade. And it seems like that's the way it is in grade schools anymore. I just want to learn enough to get by to get to the next grade. But boy, that's an injustice, isn't it? When you get out in the workplace, they say, I can't go to work for Hitachi because I don't know enough and I'm smart enough and I didn't pay attention. That's going to be a challenge for you guys.
It is. You know, you're seeing this a lot here in the state, people going from 5 day school weeks to four, some of them saying for recruitment and retention of teachers to attract more people to the job. And people ask me, and I say, I want to go 6 days a week. You know, I want our kids more. Our kids, the more they're with us, the better the chance for success. You know, so I think you're not doing what's best for kids when you do that. Time is precious for us, and like you said, we don't have a lot of time. We have a faculty council of teachers, representatives from every school that meet with me once a month, and that's one of the things they talk about is we need more time, you know, not less. So, you know, when people make these decisions, they better be careful when you go from 5 days of school to four. And I understand maybe they have a longer school day, but the longer kids are with us, the better it is for them. The more they grow, more opportunities they have for great things. And we don't want to shortchange. We have to remember why we got in this business. It was for kids. It wasn't for, you know, to be rich and you know, have this glamorous and more time off. It was to help kids and make our society better. And you know, sometimes we lose focus of that, even as a society. You know, public education is kid focused. We have to remain kid focused and make our towns better, make our communities better, make our kids better.
You know, one of the things, and you're absolutely right, that I came to the realization of not too long ago, we have less kids than we used to have. I mean, I was a baby boomer. Everybody was having families, good Catholic family, oldest of six kids. But we don't have the number of kids today like Jefferson City. You know, we have a shortage of people working in restaurants and grocery stores and stuff. Now we're beginning to have a shortage in public accounting, CPAs and stuff. We don't have enough of them because there's not enough kids. And to do what we have done, you got about an 80%, so you got a 20% gap in the workforce coming in. Where, you know, we were going at 100 miles an hour, now we're going to have to go at 80 miles an hour because everybody says, well, kids aren't working. No, we just don't have enough kids. And that's a sort of an issue with you, is there's a greater demand to excel. And like I said, I think the challenge is I'd like to see kids stay here. The politicians say, what do we need to do to stay here? Educate them and also grow the community. One of the things that we need to do. But I know you see that every day. Now, the relationship with the parents. Now, you got some parents are a great resource of support. But I've noticed in my lifetime is you've had a lot of parents that don't give a damn, that aren't involved. And that child, I don't know how much extra time you spend with that child. Now, with me, the fear of God was, you're going to go down and see the superintendent. You get up, and he's, all he has to say, I'm going to call your dad. That's all it took. You know, I stand tall at attention. What do you want me to do? But that's not necessarily the case anymore, that you don't get the parental support in a lot of cases where you really need it.
I think people are busier than ever, and you know, when you have to pay bills and have, you know, try to move your family and provide for your family, you know, sometimes parents don't have the time, that they've had in the past. So we have to do our best to link them in and be a good team together. And you know, the schools are more important than ever. Mm-hmm. And we're having kids with us longer than ever. You know, it used to be you go to school and then you go home and you're with your family. Now we provide more and more activities. The governor recently passed and funded a career ladder for teachers. We have 500 teachers participating in that. And what that does is keep you know, outside of contract hours, teachers the ability to compensate them for the hours they're working. They have more clubs than ever. Tutoring, keeping kids there. You know, reading club. Like I pick up my son on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock because he's there with a teacher and they're, you know, working on reading skills and writing skills and stories. And that wouldn't happen if you know, we didn't have teachers willing to do it and the governor funding the career ladder program. So you know, we talked about time and in that partnership with parents, you know, we have to support our parents. You know, mm-hmm. I think, you know, we're looking for them to support us and we appreciate their support, but we also have to support them because they're in a difficult position too, because they have to provide for their family. And the shifts that they work are all over the place. It's not just everyone works from eight to five or 9 to 5. So we're here to help them, and I think that's the message at JC Schools that we have to get across is, you know, we're partners, let's work together. And how can we help each other?
And we're going to dig into that a little bit more. We're visiting with Brian McGraw, the superintendent of Jesse Public Schools. My buddy Ashley Varner is over at Hitachi now, making big money, great success. A success story of Jefferson City Public School.
See the car she pulled in with Hal?
Oh my gosh.
I know. It is. But see, that's the success side of our public school system, see? Now, if you could clone a Varner, you'd have a
we're
lot
trying to
of
do.
Problems. I know you're trying to do that. All right, Open Air Saturday right here on KWS 950 104.5, broadcasting live from Hy-Vee. John Marsh says we need to take a break. By golly, we're going to take a break because school is out and we'll be right back.
Lots of things go out of style over time. Some of that's out of our control. But showing appreciation to your customers should never be something that we forget. Hi, this is Chuck Houchins from Select Insurance and Financial in Jefferson City. We make it a point to tell all our clients, we appreciate your business. You've got a lot of choices for your insurance, and it means a lot that you trust and choose us. We're Mid-Missouri's local choice for insurance. Find us at selectinsuranceandfinancial.com. We appreciate your business. Select Insurance.
You're a merchant of all things that are man. Firearms, fishing, cars, food, sports, the kind of stuff every man needs. So show it off at the Mecca of Man, the 2023 Como Man Show, Saturday, March 11th at the Holiday Inn Executive Center. It's the best and most fun way to show every man they need what you got. But hey, if you want to sit down and pass out brochures for a few hours, don't. For more info on being a vendor at the 2023 Como Man Show, go to comomanshow.com.
Fear not. There's good news. Here's Dr. Neil Franks.
And I wish every time he preached John 3:16, because you can see that everywhere, I wish they would have put in John 3:17 as well, right? Here's what John 3:17 says. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And I wish every time we put John 3:16 and John 3:17 together, I wish we'd go ahead and put John 3:16 and John 3:17 and John 3:18 all together. Because here's what John 3:18 says. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. Already. It's not a future thing that will determine whether or not a person is condemned or not. We'll see in the future. No, it says Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So let me ask you again, have you been born again? Have you responded to the gospel?
For more information about our radio ministry, visit concordjc.org.
Hearing aids change lives. 20 years ago, hearing aid consultants provided my father with professional service and exceptional follow-up care. So when I began experiencing hearing loss, I knew exactly where I would go. Hearing aid consultants. You can buy hearing aids from many places, but Hearing Aid Consultants provides the proper assessment, the right product, and continued follow-up care in a professional family atmosphere. I wouldn't trust my hearing to any other place.
Hearing Aid Consultants and Allmaker Pear Lab in Jefferson City. We are here for you today so you can hear tomorrow.
Winter. It's the time when snow causes inconveniences to everyone. Days get much shorter, and ice just solidifies how cold it truly is. The last thing you need is your vehicle breaking down and getting stuck outside in all that mess. Hickman's Automotive will make sure that doesn't happen. Honest checkups and suggestions you need at prices you can really afford. Don't let winter drag you down this season. Get to Hickman's Auto on Highway 50 East by the Osage River. Hickman's Auto. Sharing pride in your ride? It's HickmansAutomotive.com.
Catching you up on all things Jefferson City. It's Hal Dooley on KWOS.
Thank you for joining us on Open Air Saturday on Saturday morning, 8 to 9 o'clock, 104.5.
What do you got for sale, Hal? What do we got?
What's for dinner tonight?
Ground chuck, 99 cents a pound. So we can have hamburger and french fries. Now, hamburger and french fries in the Dooley family was on Saturday night. You had fried chicken and pot roast on Saturday or Sunday morning. You had chips on Friday night to watch television. But you know, old school, when Harold left for work, we headed out the back door. When Harold got home, you better be at the kitchen table to eat at 5:20.
Ooh.
You either sports practice or you were dead. There's only two excuses they would. But that was the family in the day I was growing up. You know, church, hey, you want to go to 7 o'clock with Dad? Oh boy, that's awful early. Or you can go at 10 o'clock with Mom. But you're going to go to one of the two.
I like it.
Well, but people don't do that anymore. And I think I had a very good childhood, and I think a lot of us here in Missouri did. It's not quite that way anymore. We'd like to get back to that, but our lifestyle and technology and everything else has changed stuff. And it goes back to the tools. Somewhere in all that mix, I learned something. And I'm not brilliant, but I learned how to learn. And I think the Marine Corps had a lot to do with that. I think my teachers had a lot to do with that. You know, you don't know it at the time, and peers had a lot to do with it. You know, we talk about bullying. We had bullying, but I tell you what, it didn't last very long because the athletes and class leaders took care of the bully person. I mean, really, they stopped at the playground. Somebody's picking on somebody else. No, we don't want that. I don't know if they do that anymore. You know, of course, you got bullying over the internet, so you can't really do it. But physically at school, the school leaders, the kids, pretty much policed themselves. On having, you know, and the same with the classroom. You got somebody that's disruptive, you know, it falls on the teacher today, and she's the bad person, him or her. But in the old days, it was the athletic, the football players, and people like that. Say, sit down, behave yourself. And of course, that was the discipline in the classroom. I wish we could get back to that and just take ownership of your classroom and help your teacher, because you're there to learn. And when he's over there disrupted, you're not learning. So anyway, that's just my take on it as an average person that went through the school system. I wish we could do more of that. I wish we could teach these young people to take more of a leadership responsibility, you know, and policing their own and laying that template. I know you try to do that. And same with mentoring. You know, I had a lot of smart kids that helped me out a lot of times because you're too embarrassed to ask the teacher, you know, I'm not getting this. But the kids, you know, you always got the two or three in the class that get the A's and they know everything. Well, you could go to them and say, I don't understand this. You know, can you teach it to me? And they did. So there's a lot of resources that are out there that I don't think are being utilized the way they should. Different culture, but at the same time, goes back to you got to have educated people in the workplace.
I think it gets back to high expectations. You know, we're here today at Hy-V, and you know, you see the expectations when you walk in that they have for their employees and the atmosphere they have for the grocery store here. They make it a true community center. This is the level we want things at. And that's the expectation we have to have in our schools, and our community has to have that expectation for our schools and support us. So, you know, we want our schools to look this way, and we want our kids to behave this way, and we want them to learn this way, but it has to be an expectation of from me as a superintendent, for the teachers in the school, for the principals, and then follow through with the community to support us, to say, hey, this is what we want. We expect you to be at this level, not down here. We want you to be above everybody else. We want our kids to learn. We want our programs to be great. We want to succeed athletically, academically, activities. And then when you produce these great kids, our community gets better. So we need to have our community hold us accountable. I have to hold people accountable and have that high expectation for our kids. And the kids have to hold each other, like you said, accountable. And if we do that, look out. Look out. We will be a district of champions. We'll be a community of champions. And we're going to have a great place to live. We already have a great place to live. We're going to get better and better each and every day.
I think it's a great challenge. I really applaud you for staying in education and becoming superintendent. I hope you stay a long time.
Long time.
Because it's important. And I know in the history, when somebody comes back in 10 years and say, well, I remember, and then you see successful kids. You know, that's what I like about Coach Pete. You know, everything he did, good, bad, or indifferent, all those kids that went through his system, that were taught discipline and taught this is the price you pay to win, which is hard work, teaching, understanding. Because we weren't better. We weren't better than the St. Louis schools in those days, but we were better coached, you know, and we knew the price you had to pay all four quarters to get the job done. And I went to school with most of those guys. And the pride is they've all been successful. Because the school did a good job, but Pete did a better job of saying, this is what you have to do to be successful on the sports field. It's the same principle in the workplace. This is what you have to do. And those guys, and we get together every once in a while, it's just amazing. I don't know any of them that didn't make it, per se. You know, that they learned. Wasn't the one loss record of the Jeff City Jays. It was the kids that they produced that did it. And that continued after graduation. So, and I know that's what you want to do, develop that culture, not only to succeed in high school and grade school, but to go out and be productive in the community. And I know that's what I wanted to talk to you about today, how we're going to get more productive. We've talked about that. We've talked about Nichols with regard to that avenue, which I think is a tremendous avenue, because there's a lot of kids just cannot take the structured liberal arts route, but they have a passion for something, whether it's welding or whether it's mechanics, refrigeration, and they'll excel in that. So I will give up the reading, writing, and arithmetic beyond the basics to make sure that they can excel at that. And I think you feel the same way. But we've got to have the time to be able to identify those kids, the physical challenge that they have, the disciplinary challenge that they have, which I think is tremendous. And I think we're expecting too much from your system sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, like my kid's the only kid in your school system, and I want you to give them, mentor them all the way through. And you can't do that. I mean, how many kids have you got in the school system right now?
8,500.
8,500. And every one of them has something attached to it. I want to be number one in my class. I want to be excelled. And you can't, and we've talked about it. We've talked about the time, the curriculum, and stuff like that. There's a lot more we can do if we can get more time with the kids and get more resources. Now, I want to go back to that. And actually, let's talk about money.
Let's talk about money. Let's do it.
Let's give
Brian a break.
A break in that. We got a bond issue coming up.
We do.
You know, and the first thing I heard, well, it's not going to cost you anything. Well, it always costs you something. I'm not so much worried about the cost as I am. What are we going to do with the money, and how does it impact the education of our kids?
Well, in my opinion, Hal, you know, the good news is we have an excellent public school system and a very supportive community. So knowing that, as we, you know, bring out this bond issue and the importance of, supporting the school system in their expansion with Nichols and all the other parts of this bond issue, you know, the good news is it's only going to make us better. It's only going to make us stronger. And, you know, Jefferson City really, truly is, I consider, lucky. You know, I've got three kids, and all three kids go through public schools, you know, middle schools, North Elementary, and they're thriving. And I know we've already touched on the value of teachers and the value of, you know, the educational curriculum. But each one of us in our own lives, there is a teacher in our life that has made a difference. And so, you know, we not only have to support, you know, our community and our school system through something like this bond issue, which, you know, let's keep talking about it, but also just really to know that teachers are the gateway.
They are. Ashley Varner, you want to do this again?
Yes.
I want you to come again. Can we invite Brian?
Sure,
as
why
a
not?
Matter of fact, people,
I'm in.
March the 3rd, right here at Hy-Vee. Superintendent's going to be back. We're going to talk more. So if you see Brian McGraw between now and next month, tell him you heard about it at Hy-Vee Casual Dining Area on Open Air Saturday. And find out what they want to hear, whether we said something nice or whether it was something bad. It'd be nice because we want people just to be empowered to understand what you're up against. Thank you for listening to Open Air Saturday on News Radio 950 KWOS. Have a great weekend, everybody.